to see me. You know, it's one of those things. Do you bring your cell phone out in church, or do you keep it put up? Do you bring it out in school, or do you keep it put up? There is a law that is going to be quickly going into effect where children are going to be required during the school day to keep their cell phones and all their other electronic devices that they carry with them, that they are going to be putting them up this year. It's not always been the case in all schools like this. But, you know, one of the things about putting a cell phone on the altar this morning is that, well, it's surprising. You have more influence sometimes than you realize, that there's more, that you're able to do more things than you realize. But it's not just for preachers, because all of us have more influence than we think. You have much more influence than you realize. I think that's kind of what Pam, unknowing that I was going to start here this morning, I think that's kind of what Pam was attempting to remind us of in her testimony that she was sharing. But you, particularly every single one of you that is in the pew, every single one of you that is watching online, those of you who are not like Robert and not like Tim and not like myself, you've got much more influence than you realize, because there is survey after survey that shows that people trust you, that people trust Christians, people trust disciples of Jesus, people trust church members much more than they do people that are like me, people that have that reverend in front of their name, people that stand in places like this. And as I am scanning across the congregation, it's not only Robert, it's not only Tim, it's not only me, but there's Mac that is there too. So yeah, there's also somebody else that is here that has that reverend title in front of their name. But survey after survey shows that preachers, pastors, whatever you call them, reverends, that over the past few years, that people's trust in us has declined and has declined. I will say this, it has declined significantly since my time in ministry, that it has shot down. You can draw your own conclusions about that, but it does. But your influence, the influence that all of you have, is powerful. And I want to say this is not just a pep talk that I want us to dive into this morning, but God has created all of us with the potential to influence our world. And just in case it's not immediately clear, just in case you are not eager or ready to sign on the dotted line, what about this? That your ability, the ability that God has created in you, that your ability to influence and to offer influence is in direct proportion to the potential that God sees in you. And you might say, well, that's fair enough, that my ability to influence is in direct proportion to the potential that God has seen in my own life. And you might say, well, that's fair enough. But more importantly, do you agree? Do you agree that the amount of potential that you have, that your ability to influence is in direct proportion to the potential that God sees in you? That this is it. And this is what God sees in every single one of us. And it's not just our children, but it's us too. That we are. It's what Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And all of this potential and this ability to influence, all of this potential to be salt, all of this potential to be light, comes on the very heels of a phrase that is repeated over and over again in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. You see, we started at verse 13, we started at verse 14, but if you back up and if you go to the very beginning of Matthew chapter 5, you will hear this phrase over and over again: blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. In fact, Jesus will say this. Jesus will say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then that's when Jesus will boldly announce, and you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You know, as I was preparing to preach on this passage from Matthew chapter 5, I remember this time that I was serving a church. And there were about seven pastors that came together, and we were coming together. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to come together not as seven pastors, but we wanted to come as seven churches. Now, these are different churches, different denominations, different traditions, you know, everything that happens when preachers come into a room and they come together like this. And so we wanted to come together and offer a space. Offer a space that we could not only have for people that were in our churches, but also a space that we could have to invite the community to come and to pray. And so that was the one goal that we just wanted to. And so it was very quickly we were able to decide on the one place that we would meet so that we could have a large space, so there would be chairs that could be added to the room so that people could come together. But one goal, that people of God would be praying together. And also a problem quickly emerged, because what was going to happen is that we were going to offer a space for people to come together and to pray, but also there were going to be seven different preachers that were going to be, well, speaking at some point during that evening. You're probably imagining what could happen if you allow seven different preachers to speak during that evening, that the evening may last clearly into the next day with seven different preachers that are there. And so that became a challenge that we were able to work together. And I will say, certainly by the power of the Holy Spirit and also God's grace that came upon all of our egos in that moment, that we were able to invite and open up space for people to pray. But one of the most powerful moments in that entire evening, and the one that immediately came to my mind as I opened up Matthew chapter 5, was a preacher who stood in a space just like this. And in the midst of a prayer meeting where people had already begun praying and people were already beginning to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, a preacher who stood up and who began to read from Matthew chapter 5. And everything that I've read this morning began to read those words. And as he came to Matthew, starting at Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, blessed are those, ending with these words that says, that ending with those words of give glory to your Father in heaven, and then quickly sat down. This pastor, who lived in Birmingham all of his life, who had stood shoulder to shoulder with freedom riders, who had been in meeting after meeting in the segregated South, immediately, in that moment of sitting down, saw that for the merciful, saw that for the pure in heart, saw that for the peacemakers, that he saw in his own life and his own experiences in this world, that Jesus had called him blessed. And for so many years had been able to stand in pulpits, stand on street corners, stand in meetings, knowing that Jesus had said that he was blessed, and because Jesus had said he was blessed, that he was going to do everything that he could to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world. You see, the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, as Matthew begins to lay it out, is also, by the way, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus does from the very beginning is to include people who are not feeling very blessed at the moment. Just think about it in your own experience. It's almost impossible to feel blessed when you are deep in mourning. It is almost unthinkable to feel blessed when you are standing between people that you love attempting to be a peacemaker. Or how blessed can it feel when you are meek? When all you want to do is just get mad, throw up your hands, and be done. And yet, Jesus says that because you are blessed, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Notice he doesn't say that you are going to be like salt in this world, that you are going to be a reflection of light in this world. He says, no, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. However, if you lose your saltiness, then what good is going to be your influence? There's never a doubt about the potential that God sees in any of us. The only doubt that ever emerges is our own influence, our own saltiness. It was for Jesus, it was for his disciples, it was all those who had gathered on that mountainside and on that hillside who had gathered to hear this teaching. That they all knew one thing as Jesus began to talk about salt. They knew that salt was a preservative. That was able to do amazing things in a first century world when you don't have refrigeration, when you don't have ways of storing meat, when you don't have ways of storing other food. They always knew that salt has amazing potential. And it's into this background about salt that Jesus knows that our greatest transformations, that they're often evoked and they're not always taught. And that's when Jesus brings a longing from deep inside. Well, not only from them, but even from us when we read these words about who we are, that we are people that live in God's kingdom. And Jesus evokes this deep sense of longing by asking simply, yes, there's no doubt that you are the salt of the earth. But he asks this really simple question, but what if the salt, what if it lost its taste? And this is exactly what happens when people like us, blessed by God, you know, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. It's what happens when people like us, when we sit on the sidelines and we give up our influence. It's when we're tempted to tell our own story about who we are and not who God says that we are. It's when we find it easier to live in our own world and live outside of God's kingdom. I mean, what happens when people like us, the salt of the earth, don't taste like anything? What happens when disciples of Jesus become tasteless? What if we're just too bland or too inconsequential to really have any influence at all? We know what it's like. We know what it's like eating at the table. We know what it's like to eat and stopping and saying, you know, I think this needs something. I think it just needs a little something. I think it needs a little more salt. Or even demanding at times, even almost ready to spit the food out of our mouth and say, where is the salt? I promise you, in your own world, in your own places where people you have influence around, they're asking. They're asking for just a little more salt. There's some people that you know. There's some people that you know. There's some people that you know and you love and you care about them. And they're screaming, why does this keep happening? Where's the salt? In other words, where are the people of God? Where are those people that are salt? Where are those people that are offering light in this place? Tonight, singing. There are going to be people who are going to come because they enjoy music. There are going to be people who are going to come because they enjoy gospel music. But if you listen, not only to the people that are singing, but the people that are coming. And notice that even Christians, even disciples, even people that enjoy gospel music and will take time on a Sunday evening to come and to listen and to celebrate gospel singing, that at times they'll be asking those questions. Where's the salt that is coming from the people at Grace Point? Where's the salt that is coming off of the people at Grace Point? Even next Saturday, the back to school bash, and parents and grandparents, other caregivers longing for salt from us. Do you know that this year, that this is the year, we're 5 years out, but this is the year that COVID children that were born in 2020, this is the year that those children will begin kindergarten. It could be no better reason to ask Jesus' question, what if the salt loses its taste? That's what Jesus asked. He said, if the salt loses its taste, it's good for nothing. It's thrown out. It gets trampled on. And then Jesus asked, imagine your influence. Imagine your influence when not only are you the salt of the earth, but you are also the light of the world. We're called to be both at the same time. Salt of the earth and light of the world. Imagine the light of the world. In fact, this candle is a reminder that we have on our table this morning. It's a reminder that we have that Christ is the light of the world. We come in, it's not lit. It's lit. It reminds us throughout the worship time, throughout our sign together, that Christ is the light of the world. We extinguish it. Why do we extinguish it? It's another children's moment that I've given lots and lots of times. But why do we extinguish it? Because Christ lives in us. It is some of the later writings in the New Testament, Christ in you, the hope of the world. But we remind, even children, and we remind ourselves that we do. We extinguish this candle because we remind ourselves that the light of the world goes with us. That Christ who lives in us, that truly as the light of the world that we go out into this place. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Again, not like the light, not a reflection, but you are the light of the world. And he says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. A light is not lit in a house to be covered up. A light is placed on a lampstand that the whole house, the entire house, so that light is able to fill it. A few weeks ago, I was reading an article. There was some numbers. This is several years. This is a couple of years old. But a few years ago, Barna did some research, and they looked at it's just a simple question. Do people have a positive or negative view of churches? It's around the country. It's largely based in the United States. But lo and behold, that in the church, that people that were a part of the church, Christians that were in the church, 80% of the people had a positive view of the church. You probably imagine that to be the case. 80% of the people had a positive view of the church. But then they asked people who are not part of the church currently, people who are non-Christians, if they had a positive view of the church. To that, 21% of those people said that they did not look at the church in a positive way. And so if you were thinking about this, if you were thinking that when we, well, imagine our own church and people that are not currently a part of Grace Point, if you imagine that we are starting on a scale of 1 to 10 about positive and negative and thinking, well, we recognize that the church has a problem. We recognize that it's not only Grace Point, but churches around our country have a problem. And so we're probably starting on about a 2 or a 3 scale. It's not on a 2 or a 3 scale, but it's most likely on a negative scale. This is why. This is why it's important to gather school supplies. This is why it's important for us to, well, in whatever ways we can, to offer salt and light outside our doors, in our neighborhood, in our community. So not only do you have more influence than you think, not only are you the salt of the earth, the light of the world, together we have more influence than we think. Together, Christ has said that we are the body of Christ. And imagine the body of Christ that has come together as the salt of the earth, as the light of the world, and imagine the influence that we have when, in the words of Christ, in the words of Jesus, imagine the influence that we have when we're able to let our light shine before others. And as Jesus reminds us, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And so go this week as salt, and also go this week as light. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, it is absolutely overwhelming at times for the way that you look at people like us. You've called us, O God, to be salt. You've called us to be light. We ask you, O Lord, to forgive us of those times when we've not lived into that potential. We ask you to forgive us of those moments when we have sat on the sidelines and not let our light so shine. Forgive us, O God, for not using the influence, the very passion, the very gifts that you have sparked in each one of our lives. And having forgiven us, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you will equip us to be witnesses who are the people of God, the very salt of the earth, to be witnesses who are people of God, the very light of the world. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we ask. Amen. And I would like to invite our ushers